This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. California, the dominantly blue state, has two significant political actors right now whose question marks are compelling. One political actor who is already in a position of great power, Speaker of the House, and then unanswered questions about what next in 2022. Bill Whalen in the Hoover Institution, writing in California Year in Review for Eureka, with the two politicians who are at this point on their way up or not are the governor, Mr. Newsom, and the vice president, Ms. Harris. The politician already at the pinnacle is Nancy Pelosi. So I begin with the compelling story of Nancy Pelosi because within these last days, we think we've learned that the legislation that Nancy Pelosi had identified as a sum total of all her work in Congress, the Build Back Better, looks to be set aside for now. Also, Nancy Pelosi over these years has indicated that 2022 would be the limit of her speakership. So what next for the very powerful representative from San Francisco? Bill, a very good evening to you. Nancy Pelosi, a senior figure, is still a vital component of the Democratic majority in Congress and would be again in the Democratic minority. What is she for California? I understand what she is nationally, but what is she for the people of California, the people of the Bay Area?
The answer, since it's a holiday season, John, she's Santa Claus. She brings a lot of gifts from Washington in the form of federal dollars being sprinkled across the Golden State. You mentioned Governor Newsom at the beginning of this. You look at California right now, which is swimming in an enormous budget surplus next year, John, to the tune of some $31 billion. I think that's driven in part by a market which provides a lot of capital gains proceeds to the state of California because we tax capital gains out here as we do income. But secondly, John, it's the federal government just repeatedly doing stimulus, so-called COVID stimulus bills, which just pour money into California, which shouldn't get spent, which, of course, creates inflation, but also creates a lot of tax dollars for Sacramento. So that's her main job out here, John. It's a purveyor of money from Washington, plain and simple.
And she's done that job very well over the years and been rewarded for it by the people of California. So what of her future, Bill? I remember her saying she wouldn't run for speakership again after 2022. Does that mean she's coming home to California?
It would appear that she is not. She indicated the other day that she plans to run again in 2022, which is kind of a curious thing because, number one, the expectations are the Democrats lose the House. She loses the House. She is not only not in the leadership, as you suggested. She may not be part of it. She would not be the Democratic minority leader. She keeps her word. But, John, she'd be sitting in the minority in the House as any member of Congress who is on the side that has fewer votes. It is a lousy, lousy existence because you get rolled each and every time. It's not like the Senate where there's flexibility and a little more deal making. So she is right now at age 81, I believe, born in 1940. She'll be further into her 80s, sitting on the minority side. John, if you want to game plot this thing a little bit, let's say the Republicans win the House in 2022. If history and the pattern repeats itself, then a Republican maybe comes into the White House in 2024. The Democrats then proceed to pick up the House in the 2026 midterm. She'd be 86 years old, John, and I don't see her getting the House speakership a third time. So it kind of begs a good question, and the same applies to Dianne Feinstein, who is up for re-election in 2024, at which time she will be 91 years old, John. Why don't these people retire and do something else? Why does she have to still be in Washington well into her 80s? Can't she just retire and call it a day? She and her husband are very well-to-do. They lived a good life. They just bought a new, big, fabulous house in Florida and go with their fabulous house in Napa to complement the fabulous house in Pacific Heights. Why can't she walk away?
The other Californian that is in power now, but it's a qualified power, is the senator from California, now the vice president, Kamala Harris. There is much attention to Kamala Harris's poll numbers. However, you have written trenchantly about the challenge for the vice president, which is to move in an administration that has a lot of questions about the president's authority and his future. Now, in these last hours, the vice president is in the news by saying that there has been no discussion between the vice president and the president about re-election. What is Kamala Harris's authority and popularity in California, quite aside from the national polling?
The popularity in California has always been mixed, John. I mean, she's a Democrat, so obviously she is safe in terms of election, re-election. But going into the vice presidency, still a high number of Californians who really didn't have an opinion of her and really processed her because she was only a first-term senator. She was in the Senate for 4 years, as was Barack Obama when he was elected president, John, and not really an accomplisher of landmark things. The one notable thing she did as a senator was get to Washington to start running for president. So it's not like you look around the Golden State and associate a lot of things with Kamala Harris during her time in the Senate. The question with her is pretty simple, John. Vice presidents all get portfolios, portfolios of various seriousness, various, you know, stature and gravitas. Dick Cheney, you know, was key to foreign policy in the Bush administration. Al Gore got reinventing government and so on and so forth. Kamala Harris has had a pretty bad 2021, John, in that she's been given losing assignments. The Biden administration tasking her with the southern border when they didn't have a border policy. The Biden administration tasking her with being the point person to deliver votes on the voting rights bill, which is coming back, it looks like, in 2022, John, and is setting her up for failure again if the expectation is she's going to march up to Capitol Hill and convince senators to vote for that bill, which they don't want to. So she's in a tough spot. The administration has struggled. The president has struggled. She has struggled in her capacity, especially as being the border czar, a title that she pushes back against. And that's why she has the most wretched poll numbers for a vice president right now in modern history. And it's not sexist, as some of her defenders will say. It's not racist, as some of her defenders will say. It's just that she comes across as a lightweight and somebody who's in over her head.
Now someone on the ascent like a rocket, Gavin Newsom, governor of California. Was this predictable, Bill, that having survived recall, he would become enormously popular nationally as well as locally?
Yeah, it makes sense in this regard, John. For all the Democrat struggles in Washington in terms of the president, the vice president, Congress getting things done, you ask yourself, okay, who does get things done? So you start looking around the country, the governors. And I think there are only 23 Democratic governors right now. So naturally, let's start with the governor of the largest state, Gavin Newsom. He survived the recall. Handsomely. He got the same 61.9% that he did in his first election in 2018. It's kind of remarkable. The two mirrored each other. But you look at the various buttons that Newsom is pushing these days, John. For example, saying that he will do with gun control here in California what Republicans in Texas did with abortion in terms of creating a law that can't be tinkered with. You look at Newsom stepping up during the abortion debate in the Supreme Court and saying that if Roe v. Wade is struck down, California will become a sanctuary state for abortions, that we will provide state funds where people want to come here and have that procedure. You look at the various things he does on the woke front, in terms of education, in terms of climate change. This is a guy tailor-made for Democratic primaries in 2024. But here's what's interesting, John. CNN the other day put out a list of 11 Democrats who could run for the presidency if Joe Biden does not. The first person named was Kamala Harris. Gavin Newsom's name, John, is missing from that list. They mentioned one Democratic governor, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. They mentioned Stacey Abrams, who might be a governor of Georgia. She wins her election next year. But nowhere could you find Gavin Newsom. And I suspect that's one thing, and that's that Kamala Harris being in the position of vice presidency, in theory having the first crack at this job and being a Californian, she blocks him.
The Gavin Newsom's popularity, is that false? The polls that I've read said he has approval. We have about 30 seconds.
He does well when he's up against Republicans, does well when he faces off with Donald Trump, but Gavin Newsom struggles with Gavin Newsom's up against Gavin Newsom, and internally his poll numbers are not as strong as they would seem. My contention, though, is that if he went to Iowa in 2024, other primary states, he has a good message for core Democratic voters, but as long as she is there, Kamala Harris is seen as first in line, it'd be very hard for him to build a national network because it'll be seen as, frankly, an act of disloyalty to her.
Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution. California's three politicians in different directions with promises in the future. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.